Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And in the Bibles provided, it is on page 1027. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
I'm thankful for this privilege, this opportunity to preach the gospel, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray and hope that this lesson can help those who are Christian to keep living the Christian life. And also I pray for those who are not in the body of Christ, that they will make that decision to become a child of God. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to my Father but by me. I pray and hope that we can take this lesson personally. This lesson was kind of hard for me to talk about because anytime I talk about it, I feel like it just get into my emotions and a tear want to come out of my eyes. But I want us to think about John 3:16, verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The main thing that we see that is in that verse is that God gave his Son. Jesus is the sermon that I will be talking about. Because before we can think about our church that Christ died for, before we can think about anything in this life, our faith, it is built on Jesus. See, first of all, Jesus came into this world doing good for mankind. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, if you'll turn your Bibles with me. See, you can just think about John the Baptist as he was preparing the way for the Lord. And also how he was thrown in prison because he accused or he saw a man who took his father's wife. So he told the man and they threw him in prison. You can just imagine because Jesus, as I said, was preparing the way. And you can just think about, he was like, why haven't Jesus came and saved me out of this prison? Because you got to remember, John was a Jew as well, and he probably was thinking about a physical king too. In Matthew chapter 11, it said, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished commanding his 12 disciples, and he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Like I said, Jesus came doing good. He came healing those who were oppressed of Satan. Acts chapter 10, verses 38 talks about that. Let's turn there real quick. In Acts chapter 10, it talks about that a little bit at verse number 38. Because as we know that Peter, as he's going to preach that gospel to Cornelius, as he was sent by the Holy Spirit to the home of Cornelius, in verse number 38 it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You can just imagine John talking about this Messiah, or they knew the scripture, and they just imagine, we can't wait till this Messiah come to release us from being captive, to release us from being oppressed by the devil. But that wasn't Jesus Christ's mission. Like he said, his mission was to come to do good. And we know that he fed the multitudes. He fed them with, like it says in the Bible, with 5 loaves and 2 fish and many other things. And he came to spread the good news. But his main mission was to die for the world. But also in that process, he taught them the way of God. He told them not to be like the Pharisees, who were hypocrites, who proclaimed that they was following God, putting heavy burdens on people. But also in that process, he even taught his own disciples, or those apostles he chose. Because those apostles, they was looking for that physical king as well. As we can see, as Jesus Christ talked about his betrayal in John chapter 6, verse 64, we'll turn our Bibles there real quick. But he talks about his sufferings for humanity. In John chapter 6, at verse number 64. And it talked about those things in verse number 64. And it said, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." He was talking about his death. He knew about Judas. He knew Judas. He chose Judas. But he didn't make it known to his apostle that he was the one who was going to betray him. But he knew that his betrayal would come. In John 13 at verse number 1, we'll turn our Bibles there. As we knew that he was going to be betrayed, and he washes the disciples' feet. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil have already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God." Jesus already knew who would betray him. Just imagine that you were walking with them and that you had fellowship with them, that you taught them the word, that you went out and taught them how to go make disciples of all nations and taught them how to treat people. But he knew his betrayal would come. And he still haven't made it known. But he knew it was Judas. Like it says, the devil already entered into his heart. But we know that Judas had many other problems with money as well. But just imagine you knowing your sufferings, that you knowing that you're about to die for the sins of the world. Just imagine the agony and the pain. Even though he went around doing good, but he still knew that his day was going to come. That his day was going to come. Look in Luke chapter 22. We turn our Bibles there. In Luke chapter 22. I can just imagine if you knew that you was going to die. We know it's appointed man wants to die, then comes the judgment. But you did all this good for humanity. You showed them how to walk, talk, and act. But you knew that your mission was to still die for the world. In Luke chapter 22, starting at verse number 40. And it said, "When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And as he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, that then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Just imagine your disciples who you told them to watch out for you. You went and prayed. You're praying in agony and in pain and knowing that the suffering that you're going to go through, that great drips of blood was coming from your head, and you found them sleeping. Jesus knew that he was all alone, that he was going to go to that cross all alone. Just imagine that. As we turn our Bible to John chapter 18, let's get a better description. This Jesus who our faith is built on, knowing his destiny. Because in John chapter 17, he prayed for the unity of the church. He prayed for the unity of his apostles, that they would keep his word and live by it. In John chapter 17, I don't want to read the whole thing. We'll be here all night. In John chapter 18, as it start, it said, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden in which he and his disciples entered, and Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke of, 'Those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the ship, your ship. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Just imagine. They came to Jesus like he was a robber or a murderer. And then Peter, we thinking about Peter, he drew his sword, he was ready to fight. But Jesus telling him, "That's not my battle." Because Jesus already said, I got this. I can have the world destroyed. Like he said with those angels, them legions of angels. But he said, "That's not the way I fight." But you can see here how Peter, who walked with him, seeing him being captured, seeing them going to him, I would probably would do the same thing. Knowing that I ate with him, that I had fellowship with him, that I seen him do those miracles, I said, "He is the Son of God." I probably would did the same thing. Because I've probably been the same way like Peter, ignorant of reading the scriptures and ignorance of reading, or when Jesus kept telling me about his prediction of dying, I probably would have did the same thing. But like it said, that he told him, "Put that weapon away. That's not my fight." And then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was a high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedite that the one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. And so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coal stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Just imagine, you was walking with Christ. You seen all his miracles. You seen everything that he done. And now you denied him. Like I said, I probably would have did the same thing. If my life was in trouble and I'm walking with Christ, I probably would have did the same thing. We know we always say, "Look at old poor Peter." But that could have been any one of us who were walking with Christ. But like it says, and the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciple and his doctrine. Jesus asked him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always met. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas, who sent him, bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Here go Peter again. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. I can just imagine the tears that Peter was crying after that. Because where Jesus told him that, "You're going to deny me three times. You're going to do it." And Peter ended up doing it in the rooster crow, and now it came back to his remember what Jesus Christ said to him. I can just imagine Peter was broken up. He was sorrowful. I can just imagine the tears he wanted to cry because he denied his Savior. The same one who said, "You're the Son of God. Who else can we go to?" And I can just imagine that. But then that's not the end. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early in the morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus asked him, "Are you speaking of yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." And now we see, "But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Like I said, Jesus did it for me and for you. Barabbas, they released Barabbas, a robber. But this Jesus showed them by living a life for God. He did good for humanity, and he showed them how to live for God, and they still wanted to murder Jesus. But the sad part, or the good part, that he even died for Barabbas. The good part, he even died for Pilate. The good part, he died for those same Jews that said crucify him. See, I got to condense this lesson and get it a little shorter. But this same Jesus, he died for the whole world, even when those people despised him. I can go to John 19, but I'm going to keep it a little shorter. But those same ones that said crucify him, he died for them. He died for the whole world. Like it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I don't even hear a preacher who said that it wasn't God's plan, or he didn't devise. God devised that plan because humanity needed salvation. So each time we think about it, when we reflect our minds, even on communion, when we think about giving, or whatever we do in this life, we need to go back to the cross, because that is what our faith is built on. It's on the cross. Because when you think about those who spat on Christ, those who mocked him, laughed at him, and even those who beat him, they beat him to the point, but he still got up for us. He didn't stop there. He didn't say, "I'm going to give up," but he knew it was God's plan. Because when you think about that movie, Passion of Christ, you see Jesus beating to the point where you can't even look at him because blood was everywhere. Every beating, like it says in Isaiah chapter 53, when you think about those wounds, they were for us. But he did it for us. So any Christian that want to give up, don't give up. Because Jesus didn't give up on us, but he said you can keep walking this fight. Every time we think about giving up, we need to go back to the cross. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they give us accounts. Go back to the cross. Because this world, the devil, he is the one going around oppressing everybody. He is the one dividing families. He is the one that want to destroy everybody because he know his destiny is hell. But when we think about that cross, we need to live it. That's why Jesus said, any man that come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, because Christ had to take up a cross for humanity. When you think about every nail that was beaten into him, the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, he did it for us. When you think about them putting him on that cross and they lifted him up, he did it for us. A lot of people say, think about the thief. What about the thief? Jesus already promised him that you're going to go with me. He already promised him that. You think about the agony, the pain, the suffering that he did for us. That's why it's so hard to even talk to people about Christ, because they need to go back to the cross. They say it's many faiths, but it's only one faith that he died for. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that, 1 through 4. But to give you a clear illustration, Jesus did it for me and he did it for you. But he came to save the world. Thank the Lord that he died for his church, his bride. And he shed his blood as one of the soldiers, they cut open his side and it pierced and it was bled out. And we know in Hebrews it talks about that. That blood must be given. But Jesus did it for us, people. And all I want to say, keep living faithful for God. Never give up. Keep walking the light. And if you're a child of God, don't give up. Go back to the cross. Repent and live for God. And if you're not a child of God, I pray and hope that this lesson will help you to understand, because our faith is built on Jesus. It's not built on no man. It's not built on the preacher, it's not built on the elder, not built on the deacon, it's not built on Ben Jenkins, but it's built on Jesus. And I pray and hope that we live faithful throughout life. So if anybody that needs to come, come as the invitational song is being sung.